You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from by searching Tip of the Iceberg. Well, the Penguins' struggles this season continued on Sunday night, and it was a great night for the most part up until puck drop, because once the puck was dropped, both teams looked a little lackluster. Both teams were struggling to pick up any momentum in the first period until the Penguins cashed in on the power play, and then we know how the rest of the game went. They started sitting back. The Kings started pressing the issue, and the Penguins end up losing by a final score of 2-1. The power play goes 1-for-5. Not only that, they give up the game-winning goal with under 10 minutes to go for a shorthanded LA Kings team. Their 5-on-5 offense created really no offense throughout the entire game, and their defense completely hung Tristan Jarry out to dry. So where do they go from here? They have a 2-4 record since the NHL's All-Star break a couple weeks back. They're 10 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers right now for third place in the Metropolitan Division. They do have 4 games in hand, which could bring them within 2 points of the Flyers. But when's the last time we've seen them win 4 straight? November. It's happened once this season. So the odds that they're able to rack off 4 straight, or at the very least take advantage of those 4 games in hand, let's just say I'm not holding my breath on that one. Not only that, they're 7 points back of the Detroit Red Wings for the second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. They have 2 games in hand on the Red Wings, but again, same logic applies. This team doesn't stack victories together. They're 2-4 since the All-Star break. They don't win more than 2 games in a row on an often basis. And not only that, there are 3 other teams between them, all of which are in the NHL's Metropolitan Division. When you look at it from that standpoint, it's bleak, right? It's very bleak looking forward into the last month and a half of the season here. And even more so when you look at what the issue is for this Penguins team. For the longest time, we always touted this team for being, hey, at the very least, they have the offense. And as we all know from watching this team over 52 games this season, they are one of the worst offensive teams in the National Hockey League. 26th in goals per game, and of course, 30th on the power play. Because of all of that I just laid out there in the opening 2.5 minutes of this podcast, head coach Mike Sullivan made some drastic changes to the lineup at today's practice up at UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. The first line and the fourth line remained the same. Raquel, Crosby, and Rust were still your first line, and the fourth line remained as is: Jansen Harkins, Jeff Carter, and Colin White. The big changes came to the middle six, and as we'll get to, it came on the back end as well with the blue line. Second line was Malkin and O'Connor as it was yesterday during the game, but they're joined by Matthew Phillips, the 5'8". I guess you could call him a speedster. He did have a little bit of foot speed yesterday in his Penguins debut, but he's a guy that has 1 career goal at the National Hockey League level, and now he's up with Malkin and O'Connor trying to make a name for himself, trying to find a groove and trying to help get the Penguins going in the right direction. So it's Phillips, Malkin, O'Connor. I'll have more thoughts on that in a second. The third line was overhauled as well. Riley Smith was taken off the second line, bumped down to the third line. Lars Eller remains as he has all season, the third line center for the Penguins. And Valtteri Puustinen gets back into the action there as third line right wing. Jesse Puljujärvi out of line rushes for the second time in the last calendar week. He has no points so far at the National Hockey League level this season, and he's coming off of two rather pedestrian performances. So I can't say I'm overly surprised that they would go with Valtteri Puustinen over him at the moment, not to mention the fact of, you know, coming off of double hip surgery. Who knows if they're going to try to give him some days off? Who knows the reasoning behind it, other than the fact that he really hasn't produced at the NHL level. And the Penguins have their backs up against the wall. They can't afford to wait any longer. They can't afford to fall behind any further. So they're just throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall. It's in shambles, to be completely honest with you. That's the only way that I can think to describe the changes that we're seeing and the grasping that we're seeing from this organization to try to get anything going in a positive direction and to try to get anything going on a consistent basis for this offense. Too long has it been Sidney Crosby and whoever he's playing with. It's been Jake Guentzel, who's now out three more weeks still, likely. It's been Brian Rust up and down, but better with Crosby. It's been Rickard Rakell, horrible for majority of the season, but has had a couple of good games since rejoining Crosby and obviously looked good with Crosby when coming back from injury a couple months ago. Outside of that, Malkin's been inconsistent, hasn't had good line mates, and now you look at who he has. Matthew Phillips with one career goal. Drew O'Connor, who we all know has surpassed expectations this season, but he's not a goal scorer. He's not a guy that's going to be a surefire, will get you the easy goal, will be able to finish 9 times out of 10. Nobody on this team really is outside of Crosby and Guentzel, but you don't have anybody on that line with Evgeny Malkin now that is a proven goal scorer at the National Hockey League level. And here's the thing. I don't bemoan Kyle Dubas for going out and claiming Matthew Phillips. I really don't. And honestly, I'm not going to bury the kid because he's played one game in a Penguins uniform. One game. And not that he was playing with anybody that was performing well. I mean, Jesse Puljujärvi was on his line, and Jesse Puljujärvi is now not even on line rushes. So I don't hold that against Matthew Phillips. But here is the thing you have to think about when looking at the lineup that Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan have amassed here with 2 months to go and a lot of ground to make up in the Eastern Conference. A lot of their bets this year, whether it be Jesse Puljujärvi, whether it be giving Radim Zahorna another opportunity, whether it be bringing up Vinny Hinostroza for a time, whether it be going out and getting Matthew Phillips off the waiver wire, whether it be getting Jansen Harkins off the waiver wire. Offensively, when they're making these moves, they're betting on offensive upside, on offensive potential. And that's great. And you can do that. And I would 100% love to see them continue to do that. But eventually, offensive upside needs to turn into offense, or whatever you're doing is going to make you look bad. Jesse Puljujärvi, there's offensive upside there. He's not great at finishing, but he's good at doing everything else to help set up opportunities for others. He's done that at times with the Penguins. Again, only a handful of games, not even 10 games at the NHL with the Penguins so far, but he has 0 points. Matthew Phillips, offensive potential, offensive upside. He was over a point per game the last 2 years at the American Hockey League. Do we really think he's going to be able to be a massive contributor, or even a semi-consistent contributor on the second line when he's just thrust into that role at 25 years old? When he was a healthy scratch for 15 of the Capitals' previous 16 games before they put him on waivers and before they were claimed. It's a lot of hoping. And right now, that's all they can do. I mean, they're in a corner. You can go out and try to make trades all you want, but you're backed into a corner. You have very little by way of assets to go out there and acquire anything. And I don't think it makes sense for them to acquire anything anyway. What one piece or two piece or three pieces, which you're not going to be able to acquire three pieces, but let's say for the sake of argument, they do. What pieces do you bring in that is going to drastically change the 26th ranked team in goal scoring and the 30th ranked team on the power play? You just aren't. So those were the offensive changes at 5-on-5. Now, They also shook up the power play. It 1-for-5 last night. They scored a goal. Sidney Crosby, absolute laser beam to beat Cam Talbot. First unit, Erik Karlsson stays up there. Sidney Crosby, obviously, stays up there. Rickard Rakell and Brian Rust both stay up there, but now they're joined by Lars Eller. When I say they're throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and seeing if it works, I would say it's desperate, but at this point, it calls for desperation. You can't say anything about Mike Sullivan not being willing to make some changes. He's been willing to make some changes. He's been a little stringent on certain areas of the game, but today he said, we can't run anything back. Fourth line, I will never know how he continues to put Jansen Harkins in these positions, but also look at the way the fourth line is constructed. Do you really think Yesipuljärvi is going to fit the play style of Jeff Carter, Colin White, Jansen Harkins? Not really. Not really. He's going to be trying to lift them offensively. That's not going to do anything. So you look at the first power play unit, Karlsson, Crosby, Rakell, Rust, Eller. Maybe Lars Eller becomes a nice net front presence there. Maybe he becomes a pest. Maybe, I mean, he's done well in the roles they've given him. Maybe he steps up and helps this. Maybe. But again, at this point, it's do or die. Second unit, Letang, Malkin, Smith, Matthew Phillips, and Jeff Carter. Okay, it's the second unit. You finally did the one thing that I think a lot of people have been asking for. You split up Erik Karlsson and Evgeny Malkin. That's one thing I'm excited to see. How does that pan out? Because a lot of people have suggested that, and that's the one thing that they haven't really done, or at least haven't done for an extended period, or haven't done going into games all that much.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So that's the forward side. That's the power play side. Before we go, obviously have to touch on the defense because, again, when I say drastic changes, these are drastic changes. P.O. Joseph has been a healthy scratch in 9 of the last 23 games. And in that time, he's only played one game when John Ludvig was healthy. So, essentially, he's been your 7th defenseman for the past 3 months. And before that, he was in a dogfight with Ryan Shea and John Ludvig and Chad Ruhwedel for actually just getting a sweater on game day. And now, P.O. Joseph's on the first pairing with Chris Letang. Here's the thing. When Joseph was coming back from injury, I suggested this very thing. I said, you need to balance this defensive lineup out a little bit better. The only other option you have, because Pettersson with Letang is great, but then what do you have underneath him? Ryan Graves with Letang has not been all that great. A little bit better than Ryan Graves and Erik Karlsson, but you've tried that, and that didn't work early in the season. The only other new look you could give is P.O. Joseph. Last season, those two played 176 minutes at 5-on-5 together. 49% of the shot attempts went on the ice. Goals were 50-50, 6 allowed, 6 scored, and expected goals were close to 50-50, 49% for the expected goals. So literally everything for them is 50-50. Putting them together, though, if you can get P.O. Joseph to perform at the level he did last season, which he has not been at that level this season, I think this might help you even out the defense a little bit more. It might help you get slightly better contributions from Erik Karlsson, slightly better contributions from Ryan Graves. But again, is slightly better going to be enough to turn the tide of a team that has been wildly inconsistent all year long? I don't think it is. Again, I won't bemoan Mike Sullivan for trying. He has to try. But P.O. Joseph, Chris Letang, with the fact that P.O. Joseph hasn't even been able to crack your lineup, now there's a chance that he, going into a very important stretch, including two of the next three games against Metropolitan Division teams that are above you in the standings, interesting time to pull the trigger on this one. That leaves Marcus Pettersson with Erik Karlsson, which I do believe is going to be good. Pettersson's been a great defensive defenseman. It hopefully allows Erik Karlsson to be a little bit more of that offensive threat because, again, worst offensive team in the National Hockey League. Sensing a theme here? Sensing a theme here at all? So there's that. And then Ryan Graves and Chad Ruhwedel. And a lot of people are going to be mad that John Ludvig is out of the lineup, and I get it. You like his physicality. He's one of few Penguins players that actually bring it. Defensively, though, it doesn't warrant automatically putting him into the lineup spot. It doesn't put him in pen inside the lineup. So Ryan Graves, Chad Ruhwedel, that's the best spot for Graves. And it's unfortunate because you paid him $27 million in the offseason. But right now, it seems like that's the best spot for Ryan Graves. We talked to Jesse Marshall of The Athletic a couple weeks ago, and he said he doesn't really fit with Karlsson or Letang simply because he's at his best when the puck is on his stick and he's carrying it out of the defensive zone. You're not going to do that with Karlsson on the ice. You're not going to do that with Chris Letang on the ice. You are going to do it with Chad Ruhwedel. So maybe he's in a better position to succeed. But again, you're banking on P.O. Joseph being able to be at least modicum of what he was last season, which we haven't seen this year. He's been in and out of the lineup. He had his health issues, which you don't hold against him. But they're gambling. They're going for it. I don't want to hear anybody saying they didn't try to change anything. These are drastic changes. Will it help? I'm skeptical. Did they at least change it? Am I happy that they at least are trying some stuff here? Yes. But again, massive part of the schedule coming up. Not only two of the next three against the Metro. Do yourself a favor. Go to the Penguins website. Go to NHL.com. Go to wherever you need to go. Hockey Reference, look at the schedule in March. It's a lot of Metropolitan Division games, and they come very consistently. Put up or shut up time. Again, I'm skeptical on the Penguins' chances to make a comeback, make a run. I'm never going to 100% rule out Sidney Crosby. As we've seen, he's still doing ridiculous things, and he's still trying to put this team on his back. And now we're seeing them continue to try to help them in any way, shape, or form. A little scary to see Matthew Phillips and Drew O'Connor on your second line. A little scary to think about the fact that you're paying Riley Smith $5 million. He had two goals in his last five games, but the performance hasn't warranted keeping him on the second line. Not a good thing. Interesting to see a Jesse Puljujärvi, who, yeah, it might be a health reason. It might be, hey, he just needs on and off some time. But sign him to a two-year contract and six games later, if he's a healthy scratch for a seventh-round pick in Valtteri Puustinen, who I love, a lot of these interesting ideas and potential offensive upside picks and selections and acquisitions by Kyle Dubas, a lot of them aren't working right now. He's operating from his back foot. It's never a good place to be, but that's just where the Penguins find themselves right now. That's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.